Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning. This is Tracy Halesvass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico. Today, I'm talking again with Shannon Baker, the author of the Kate Fox series and other books. Good morning, Shannon.
Hi, Tracy.
I really enjoyed the Kate Fox series. Last time I talked to you, we talked about one of your standalone novels. But this time I read all the Kate Foxes, including the brand new one, Easy Mark.
Oh, well, that's great. I'm so glad you're up to, because, you know, they started coming out in 2016
uh-huh.
and then had a little blip and a bump. And so it's been almost 3 years since the last one came out, since number three came out.
Okay. And I see that on your website, Shannon-Baker.com, that Broken Ties is the next one.
Yeah, and that one I'm so excited for. In fact, you asked me to read something today, and I'm going to read from that book.
Oh, good, good.
I just turned it in last Sunday
oh.
to my publisher, and my editor said she thinks it's the best book I've written so far, so that
wow.
made me feel really good, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's great. Before we go further, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about who Kate Fox is and what the series covers, or a little synopsis.
Okay. Well, Kate Fox lives in the Sandhills of Nebraska, which is really remote, very, very rural. The population in the Sandhills is 0.9 people per square mile, and cattle outnumber people by more than 60 to 1.
Wow.
So it's very, very rural. Her county is about the size of Rhode Island, and she is the only law enforcement officer in the entire county. And the four counties that surround this, they're in a four-county co-op, and there's only one sheriff in each of those counties. So they're always trying to find a deputy that can work on weekends and spell them for a time. But you, generally, they take over each other's county if somebody needs time off, and the state patrol helps out some.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at. There,
okay.
There's not a whole lot of people. So Kate, in this book, Easy Mark, she is just kind of coming into her own as county sheriff. She's had to run against her ex-husband to get sheriff, and as luck would have it, he has been. He's now sheriff in an adjoining county. So she's just kind of trying to come into her own and prove herself as county sheriff when a really nasty rancher gets killed in Ted is her ex-husband in his county, which normally she wouldn't have anything to do with, except Ted decides to go ahead and arrest her younger brother for it.
Right.
Of course, Kate's not going to let that stand. So that's kind of how Easy Mark gets going,
mm-hmm.
and she's got to prove that her brother didn't do it, although all the clues seem to point to him. And in the meantime, she's trying to figure out her love life, which is
oh, yes.
always a little chaotic.
It's great. I really got to know Kate, and she is coming into her own, and she's got a huge family.
Yeah, so when I first started writing mysteries, I didn't read a lot of mysteries, so I didn't realize that series are the things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing a mystery, and I sold one, and my publisher said, "Is this a series?" And I said, "Ooh, sure,
oh,
of course,
yeah.
Why wouldn't it be?" and then I had already written myself into such a hole that I was really didn't know what I was going to do with this character. So when I started the Kate Fox series, I decided I wanted to make it a long series.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave her eight brothers and sisters, figuring that each of them could have a book of their own, and that would take me quite a ways.
Good thinking. But they're very real characters. They're all different. Each one has his and her own personality and quirks, and the mother is great. She's a little bit different herself.
she is different. And you know, I'm always getting way ahead of myself, but I have plotted book. So I turned in book 5, which is the one I'm going to read from today.
Okay.
And I plotted book 6 and started writing it. And it's about her mother, so we get to find out why her mother is like she is.
Oh, good.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. So that's Kate Fox. Now, you also have, which I listened to a little bit of Nora Abbott, the first one. Is she still kicking around?
She, you know, I left the series kind of open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that I'll go back to it, you know, but I could. I've come so far since those books were published. So I think right. The last one came out in 2015. And I think I've evolved as a writer
mm-hmm.
to the point where I'm not really all that excited to go back and see what Nora's up to.
That's fair. Yeah, you have a lot of books. Your Southwest stories?
Yeah, so those are the most recent, aside from the Kate books. I'm really happy to be back with Kate. But
yeah.
The Desert Behind Me, I think,
mm-hmm.
maybe we talked about.
That's what we talked about.
I loved that book.
Me
that,
too.
That book was, that was really dark. It's absolutely. So if you're reading the Kate Fox and you think, oh, what else does she have out there?
Right.
I got to warn you, it's not the same.
It's not, but it's. I liked it a lot, too.
Well, thank you. I loved writing that book. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It had people who hear voices.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was very interesting.
Way more common than I knew when I started researching it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and a lot of people hear voices and you wouldn't know it. They just function
right
as every day.
They're not crazy people. They just hear voices.
No, so, you know, next time you're sitting in a restaurant and somebody gets this faraway look on their face, they could be hearing speaking to them in their head.
They could. Yeah, so back to Kate. Is it difficult for you to set her so solidly in Nebraska in different seasons when you yourself live in sunny Arizona?
You know, I lived in the Nebraska Sandhills for 20 years, so it isn't that difficult. And you know, I was up there not too long ago visiting in the summer. I'm not all that anxious to go back in the winter. Although,
yeah.
You know, the Kate books, I've set them so that they're only a few months apart in each book.
Right.
So they first started coming out in 2016. So, you know, I'm on book 4 just published, and it's only been a year and a half since I started. So we haven't had to deal with COVID yet.
Right, right.
And, you know, she's only gone through, you know, one round of seasons yet, so.
Right. Yeah, and you described the seasons pretty clearly. I mean, it was cold.
It's cold up there.
It's cold.
I've got one book set, in January when it's really cold.
Yeah, Dark Signal, I think it was, where it was just freezing. And so many of her adventures were outside in the cold, trying to solve
that. Yeah, you know, it's that kind of weather when you walk outside and you breathe in through your nose, and your nose is just all icicles and it sticks together.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, good. So Broken Ties is going to be about the ex-husband.
He shows up in, Broken Ties. The premise of that is he's just had a new baby and can't quite cope, and his wife, Roxy, can't quite cope, and Kate ends up with the baby for a time.
Oh, you know, I totally believe that. After meeting them and knowing how they are, I can see that.
and we get to find out in this book what Carly's been up to.
I was just going to ask about Carly. Good.
Yeah.
Now, Carly's kind of been a thread going through there.
Yeah, and it's time. It's time we find out where she's been and what she's been up to.
Good.
And so that was fun. I kind of knew, but she kind of had to come on the scene and tell me.
Is that how you write those? Do your characters kind of tell you what's going to happen next?
Yeah, they do. And as with you, you know, each book that goes by, I get to know the siblings a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I get to understand more about the family dynamics. And so it is kind of fun
mm-hmm.
that way.
Now, Kate has bought herself a little house, and it seems, and it's on a lake. And that seems like a very real place, too. Are these real settings?
So that the house that I have we're living in was built in 1910, I believe.
Right.
And it is not located in the same place, but it's this house that my husband and I lived in recently in McCook, Nebraska. And it was a hovel. It was really, really not a nice house. I made Kate's cuter. Yeah. You know, so it's, it doesn't smell weird. Because this house smelled weird. I think my husband said he thought it was because it was heated by coal.
Oh.
It had a downstairs coal. And he thinks maybe it just got into, I don't know. But Kate's house doesn't smell bad except when it floods.
Right.
But other than that, it's fine.
Yeah, the flood.
But yeah, the lake is a real lake. Stryker Lake is Fry Lake.
Ah.
Which I used to take my kids out in a little inflatable raft, and I would roll them all over in that lake. We had a lot of fun out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like it. I can visualize it, and Kate, you know, looking out at it. I was going to say more, but I don't want to give too much away, so.
Oh, but you know what? In Easy Mark, I was talking to an old rancher the other day who had read the book,
mm-hmm.
and he's from the Sandhills, or he spent a lot of time in the Sandhills, and he said, I just want to tell you, you got something wrong.
Oh.
I was being nice, but I said, oh, and what's that? And he says, you have her going out into the lake and walking on these little, on these pebbles, on rocks,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they hurt her feet. And as soon as he said that, I went, oh, he said, in the Sandhills, there wouldn't be rocks on the bottom of the lake. It's all sand.
Oh.
And as soon as he said that, I thought, oh, he's right.
How funny.
It won't change the book any, but, you know,
right.
He is right.
It's one of those details, and readers catch you on those, don't they?
Well, he did.
That's great.
I also had another reader. So each of Kate's siblings and Kate herself are all named for the Academy Award-winning actor or actress in the year in which they were born. That's the way her parents had done it.
Right.
And I have her older sister, the one that dies. I have her named for Glenda Jackson for The Goodbye Girl.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell you how many times I looked this up. But whatever, I had a reader, and it's been, you know, 6 years since the books have been published. The first book has been published, and just recently, about a month or so ago, I had a reader write to me and say, Glenda Jackson was never in The Goodbye Girl.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. And she wasn't. I can't remember the film that she was the actor that year. So that was good. I got that writer name that can stand, but it wasn't that movie. I can't remember
what
it was, but.
How funny.
And, you know, I don't even know how many copy editors that went through.
Right. Isn't that something? The year the twins were born, Michael Douglas won the award so that each of those had a name, Michael and Douglas.
That worked out well, didn't it?
That did. So which of those, I can see actually your evolution as a writer through these. Do you feel that in yourself also?
I do. I think the books get better and better, which is really gratifying. I mean, I'd hate to think that they're getting worse.
Well, they're all good, but yeah, they're getting more complex, and I don't know, just they are getting better.
And somebody just said, because this just launched August 10th, I just had a reviewer say that she thinks the books are getting a little darker as they go along.
Oh.
And I think that might be true. Also, because I just think, as you said, they get more complex.
Dark Signal was really interesting in the setup and the characters with the railroad people. And the murderer was a real surprise.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you thought it was a surprise.
It was. I didn't.
So my husband worked on the BNSF for 42 years.
Ah.
So I had an in-house expert.
Yeah.
And I'd asked him, you know, at the beginning, I said, if you were going to kill somebody on the railroad, on a train, how would you do it? And it was a little frightening.
Yes.
He came up with it.
Yeah, that was quite a maneuvered murder tool.
Oh, yeah. He even told me exactly how to construct it and what weight of wire I would need. So,
oh,
number 9 wire.
Oh, he was ready about that too much.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And Kate's dad is a railroad guy.
Yeah.
So that works out.
Yeah. You know, I always joke that I had to write about the railroad because Craig Johnson, who writes the Longmire series, never did.
That's true. That's true. I can see that comparison between you and Craig Johnson.
He's so good.
He is. He is. So why don't you take a few minutes now and read us a little bit?
Okay. All right. And as I said, this comes from the book I just turned into the publisher that won't be out until next February.
Okay.
But I'm pretty excited about it. It's called Broken Ties.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from the first chapter. This is Kate has just had a call from Earl Johnson. Earl and Newt Johnson are bachelor brothers who are in their 70s, and they make their living by picking through people's junk piles. Mm-hmm. And so they know a lot of the secrets, and they've made themselves Kate's informants.
Great.
So she gets a call to go out to this ranch because they say there's something going on, and she thinks she needs backup, so she calls Ted. And they're out there watching this cabin out in the ranch. And Ted's just has a new baby who's 3 weeks old. So
okay.
Ted ran a hand over his hair, making it stick straight up. Vain Ted hadn't had a haircut or even washed it recently. "I didn't need this tonight," he said. I laughed, losing a little sleep lately. Still whispering, but a bit louder, he kept his eyes on the house. "He doesn't sleep, not more than 3 hours at a time. We can't figure out what he wants. We feed him, we rock him, we walk with him. Roxy's a mess, smells like diapers and puke all the time." I didn't point out his ripe odor because I'm nice that way. A figure walked across the room, this far from the house, about 50 yards. I couldn't tell who, but it looked like a woman. From what I knew, Garner Spencer lived with his current girlfriend, someone from Broken Boat. I didn't know. His ex-wife, Billy, was a substantial girl. Grandma Artis said she could go bear hunting with a switch. Ted continued whining. We took him to the doc, and she checked him out. Couldn't find anything. Said it's colic. Even Dahlia doesn't know what to do. That didn't surprise me. Ted's mother, Dahlia, had all the warmth and mothering instincts of a Gila monster. The house sat silent, almost serene. We might as well call it. I said, maybe Earl overreacted. I ain't never, stage whispered retort. Must have caught Ted as unaware as it did me because he whipped around, pulling up his gun. Earl Johnson stood behind us in all his 5'7 rumpled glory. Years ago, a raccoon crawled into the corner of the barn once and died. He laid there for weeks with blue, musty smell growing stronger until I finally discovered him and managed to bury him despite gagging the whole time. Earl smelled similar to that raccoon 2 days before I found him. Ted growled at Earl. You said there was trouble. It's pretty quiet around here. Earl pursed his mouth like an old lady and turned his attention to me, clearly cutting Ted out. Me and Newt seen it. Ted didn't seem to have much patience to spare. Saw what? Them girls, Earl said. Says me and Newt hear them raising it, ruckus. I mean, they was shouting and carrying on like they was killing cats. I gave Earl my stern look, the one I used to extract confessions from my 8-year-old twins. Better tell us the whole story. Well, when we was at the dump over that hill, he pointed behind the house, we heard laughing, so we came over to look. Well, the new one and the old one, they was tossing things into the barrel, and we thought it looked like they threw out a pair of boots. Newt's boots is worn through, so we thought we'd wait until later and go see if they fit. But then the old one, she got a match and was trying to get it lit. But you know how hard it is to light clothes. This story was shaping up to be a humdinger, as Grandma Artis would say. Then all of a sudden, they run back to the house. So Newt, he decides to go down and get them boots before they come back out and get the fire going. And he gets down there, and all hell breaks loose. But he's already down there, and I'm up on the hill, so we decide I'll go call you, and he'll keep watch down there. Wait, how did you decide that when you were up on the hill and he was down here so far apart? Earl tilted his head sort of like a dog when it's confused. Welp, he just did. Ted let out his breath of long-suffering. I've had enough of this. He placed the boot on the rung of the auto gate, and that's the exact moment the night split wide open.
That's, I love Newt and Earl. They're
they're
quite
my
the
favorites.
Character. They are very clever characters. They're just operate right on the edge of the law.
You know, but they're good-hearted.
They are.
I wrote a short story with Newton Earle that I just love, and I submitted it to an anthology that I'd been asked to do a story for, and I submitted it, and they hadn't read any of the books, and they said, "This doesn't make any sense." I said, "It would if you knew Newton Earle."
Right. Yeah, the pickers, and they always argue with each other.
Yeah, well, the only reason you can tell them apart is that Earle bit Newt's ear when they were 1 and 2 years old.
Right.
So there's a big hole out of Newt's ear.
Right. Are you working just on Kate Fox then right now?
I am. As soon as I finish this book with Kate's mom, which is called Exit Wounds, I just can't wait to get it.
Oh, cool.
I have started a book set in Tucson that deals with the mafia.
Mm.
And I'm very excited to get back to that.
Yeah.
It got so complicated that I couldn't quite figure out how to make the ending work, and I still don't know how to make the ending work.
Oh.
But I wrote myself into a hole. But if I ever figure it out, it's going to be a great book.
Oh, good. Love those dilemmas. No,
yeah, the mafia, Joe Bonanno retired down here in Tucson in the 70s. There was a really strong mafia presence down here for quite a while.
I've heard that from other authors, that the mafia was really strong in Tucson, and I had not heard that.
Yeah, it fascinated me. I'm taking it down a few generations.
So do you write all day then?
Oh, I do not. I I should, but I don't. When I'm working on a draft, mm-hmm. I usually write like 3 or 4 hours, and I just kind of gallop through a draft.
Uh-huh.
So it'll take me about two and a half months to write a draft.
Okay.
And then I just edit it, and that's kind of a whole different process.
Yes. So you actually write even the Kate Fox series straight through in a first draft without outlining or?
No, I plot pretty. I plot mm-hmm. the big plot points.
Okay.
Because if I don't know that it has an ending, I get really flustered. I'll almost always change the ending, but I have to know there is one plausible way to end it.
That makes sense, because you have to know what you're going toward.
Yeah. I guess maybe I've stopped a couple of books in the middle because I couldn't figure out how they ended. The Mafia book, for one.
So Kate's real to you, though, as a real person.
She is. And what's really funny is the first book I wrote, the sheriff in where I was from used to, in Hyannis, Nebraska, worked for us because we had a feed store for years. So he was a really good friend of mine. And then I left and he became sheriff. And so, you know, he's always my consultant. And so when I was writing the Kate Fox books, I kept asking questions. And then I sent him the book, I think it was. At one point, though, we were talking on the phone, and he said, "Well, Kate wouldn't do that. That's not the way she thinks." And I thought, I was so excited. I said, she's real to him, too.
That's
she's
great.
She's become someone completely real.
Right. Affirmation.
Yeah, it was.
I love that.
Yeah, she's our friend.
I love the way Go Big Red is inserted in there and often.
Of course. Blood runs red.
Now, last time I talked to you, I think you were talking about how you are really interested also in environmental issues.
Well, I did. I worked for the Grand Canyon Trust.
That's right.
For several years up in Flagstaff. And, you know, they are conservation and restorative of the Mogollon Rim and the Colorado Plateau, all up in there.
Right. So how is that still helping to inform your writing?
You know, I think if you're a responsible human being in the world now, it should always, I think,
it should,
you know,
always.
We're all thinking about that, especially in these apocalyptic times. We know we've got floods and fire, and we're dealing with pestilence down here now. We've got flies like you wouldn't believe.
Ooh, yeah, New Mexico's burning
rain.
Up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sad for that.
And the Nora Abbott I listened to had some environmental issues too with the fake snow building.
Yeah, so when we first moved to Flagstaff in 2007, They were, I was casting about for something to write about, and there were all these protests about man-made snow on the San Francisco Peaks, which are sacred to 12 different tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I've got to write about this.
Yeah.
This is, you know, somebody's going to die here.
Yep.
And as far as I know, they didn't in real life, but they did in my book.
Of course. Of course.
So, and that's what got me very interested in the Hopi, because the Hopi are, wow, there's what a stupid tribe for me to try to write about, because they're very secretive, but they're fascinating.
You, yeah, and the Nora Abbott, I see your Hopi characters. So you said that you picked up on what was going on around you for the plots for Nora Abbott. What about Kate Fox? How do you come up with the ideas of, you know, the end? So you probably know, I guess we could say it, the murder right away.
Yeah. So this recent book that deals, it's got some south of the border issues and some horse racing, you know, horses disappearing and showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was basically just following a line of, you know, I wanted to do something with livestock, and so I started researching what are livestock crimes, and you know, that kind of led me down that path.
I wondered if that was based on some real happenings when the horses started disappearing and money started flowing mysteriously.
Yeah. That really surprised me. That is based on research. Some nasty characters involved in that.
Mm.
You know, anytime you get a drug cartel involved in something, you're going to go down. And I tried to keep the whole cartel pieces of it out of the book, because that's not the kind of book I wanted to write.
Right.
But yeah, when you get into dealing with horse races, there's a lot of cartel money, because it's a great way to launder money.
I hadn't thought of that, but then when I read that, I went, oh, I see. Yeah, that is a great way to launder money. And innocent people get caught up in that, like good old Jeremy.
Poor old Jeremy.
Poor old Jeremy. He's so lovable.
Such a sap.
He is. He's a good character. So Easy Mark has just been released. Broken Ties will be released in early next year. And then we're looking forward to the other ones.
They have me pretty much on a 6-month schedule.
Good.
So that'll be good. And I am contracted through Book 7, although I have no idea what Book 7 is going to be about. I don't even have an inkling of an idea. So.
Well, hopefully by the time you get there, you will.
We'll see. You know, you ask me where the ideas come from. I don't know, but I hope they show up.
Yeah, I'm here, idea.
The two first books are out in audio, and they're working on the next. So I'm contracted for audio for all the Kate books. That's fun. I love the narrator that's doing it, Megan Tusing.
Yeah, I listened to a little really bit of that, and she did well.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, when you switch, you've been reading something in text and then switch to the audio, you don't know if they're going to get it right, like you imagined. But I liked her.
Oh, good. Thank you. I thought she did a great job.
Okay. Well, we look forward to Broken Ties, and I hope to talk to you when that one comes out.
Oh, good. Well, I'm always here.
Okay.
Thanks, Tracy.
All right. Thank you, Shannon. And that was Shannon Baker from Tucson, Arizona, talking about the Kate Fox series, the newest one, Easy Mark, and the upcoming one, Broken Ties. This is Tracy Hales Vass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE, the information and cultural beacon of the Four Corners on 90.9 FM.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.